This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. We continue بإذن الله تعالى your brother in Islam Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Current discussion, the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi and more especially the second hadith, the hadith of Jibreel. And بإذن الله تعالى tonight we will conclude with this hadith. Jibreel asks his third question. What is Ihsan? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions, he states, Al-Ihsan, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you are seeing Him. And while you see Him not, yet truly He sees you. Worshipping Allah as though you are looking at Allah. You are conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you. And if you're not on that level, the level of mushahada, then the level of muraqaba, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. If you are unable to conscientize yourself that you are in the presence of Allah, you are looking at Allah, then well, second step, and that is know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Brothers and sisters, what is ihsan? That's the definition given by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ihsan also linguistically means to do something well, to perfect something, to do it to its level of excellence. You're performing that salah with ihsan as though you are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excellence in your relationship with Allah, excellence in your relationship with creation, that you are truly doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As somebody said, ikhlas, what is ikhlas? He says, ikhlas is to do an act with ikhlas and then to forget that you had ikhlas. You don't keep on going about, you know, mashallah, I'm full of ikhlas. Allahumma musta'an. Doing all types of good and doing it with excellence. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. And Allah loves the muhsinin, those who do things with ihsan. Surah Ma'idah, verse number 93. We find, for example, that be it doing good with your body, do it, be it in your position of authority, using your money, using your knowledge, whatever it might be, you know, you do not miss an opportunity. You don't miss an opportunity. You want to be the muhsin. You want to do good left, right, and center. The first level, as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mushahada. And the second level, that being mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Brothers and sisters, that level, as somebody had mentioned, he says that I've made this dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, you know, and khair, he's a non-Arab, you know, it's good. He says, but my teacher had told me to say three times a day, Allah is watching me and Allah is aware of what I'm doing. He says that had a greater effect on himself, subhanallah. Why? Because that's the language that he uses. And so that affected him. Allah is watching me and Allah is aware of what I'm doing, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, a question. In this world, can anyone see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know in the hereafter, the greatest gift to the believers would be the fact that they would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for while one is in this dunya, while awake or something, can one see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer is no. Ibn Rajab, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, they refute, you know, the opinion of some ignorant ones who made claims that they saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt Allah is close. Allah is personal. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask about me, say I am near. مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. That three people do not speak except the fourth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, present in their conversation, present with them. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِن حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to him than his jugular vein. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, إِنَّكُمْ لَيْسَ تَدْعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا. You are not calling upon a deity who is deaf and who is absent. إِنَّكُمْ تَدْعُونَ سَمِيعًا قَرِيبًا. You are calling upon the one who hears. You are calling upon the one who is close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shawaliullah Dehlawi, he divides knowledge into two categories. Ilm al-shara'i', the knowledge of the sharia, and then ilm al ihsan, knowledge of ihsan, the matter of the tazkiyatun nafs. Call it whatever you want. Call it tazkiyatun nafs. Call it ihsan, call it Sufism, call it tasawwuf, call it tarbiyah, call it adab, whatever you want to call it. Call a rose by any other name, it's still a rose. As long as it's within the boundaries of the sharia, as long as it is legislated, as long as it is legal, alhamdulillah, tazkiyatun nafs, Sufism, tarbiyah, ihsan, all khair and barakah, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, so our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions ihsan, and the scholar states, so you got the level of Islam, higher than that the level of iman or the mu'min, and higher than that you got the level of the muhsin. The muhsin, the highest level, walhamdulillah. Then Jibreel goes on to a tangent, different topic. Then he asks, akhbirni ani sa'ah, tell me about the hour. Tell me about when's the hour. When is Yawm al-Qiyamah? What did our Rasul, our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam respond? He says that, مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا, the one who is asked this question, meaning myself, and the one who is the sa'il, the one asking the question, none of us know the answer. The one who's asked, he doesn't know more than the one who's asking the question. You don't know, I don't know, nobody knows. Inna Allaha indahu ilmu sa'a. Surah Hajj, verse number 7. With Allah is the knowledge of the hour. The five matters, the ilmul ghayb, one of them being the knowledge of the hour. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. The word sa'a means a period of time. And it's also the name given to Yawm al-Qiyamah. Inna sa'ata atiyatun la rayba fiha. That is Surah Hajj, verse number 7. Wa anna sa'ata atiyatun la rayba fiha. Verily, the hour is going to come, and there's no doubt about it. Inna Allaha indahu ilmu sa'a. Surah Luqman, verse number 34. The knowledge of the hour is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yas'alunaka 'ani sa'a. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They ask you about the hour. Say that the knowledge of the hour is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ahzab, verse number 63. And if the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not know the answer, if Jibreel does not know the answer, how's anybody else going to know the answer? Nobody knows when Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to occur, and that's part of its wisdom. We shouldn't be fixated on when. Rather, as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to that man, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا, what have you prepared for Yawm al-Qiyamah? What have you prepared for that day? Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't say that I and you don't know, but rather he spoke quite generally. He said, the questioner and the questioned do not know. So it includes any other individual on earth who might ask that question, or anyone else who's questioned. He didn't say, I don't know, you don't know. Rather he said, the questioner doesn't know, and the one being questioned, none of us know the answer to that question, subhanAllah. And then Jibreel asks the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أخبرني عن أماراتها, tell me about its signs. Tell me about the signs of Qiyamah. There are many signs. There are some signs which have already passed. There are minor signs. There are major signs. There are signs which are occurring up till today, and they're still taking place. There are future signs. Future signs close to Qiyamah. They are the major signs. Also, there's the coming of Isa ibn Maryam. There's the descent of Isa. There's the coming of the Dajjal. There's the appearance of Imam Mahdi. Many, many major signs still to occur. Also, when it comes to the signs of Qiyamah, they are not necessarily, you know, necessarily good or bad. Coming of Isa alayhi salam is fantastic. The appearance of the Mahdi is brilliant. Walhamdulillah. Coming of the Dajjal, this is a fitna. So there's not, you know, someone might say there's a sign of Qiyamah that they will not, wealth will increase. Wealth will increase. So the signs of Qiyamah, some of them good, some of them bad, and some of them are just signs. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned from amongst them, أن تلد الأمة ربتها. Subhanallah, very important, brothers and sisters. أن تلد الأمة ربتها, that a slave woman would give birth to her master. How come? Slave woman giving birth to her master. Ibn Hajar and others, they lean towards the first opinion in that it means there would be increase in disobedience towards the parents. To the level that the kids would treat their parents as slaves. The son says, I want this, buy me this, get me this, I'm taking this. Son beats up the mother, beats up the father, swears the father, does as he wants to do, subhanallah, with absolutely complete disregard for the parents. This is a sign of disobedience, subhanallah. So it could mean that here you have a slave woman giving birth to her master. That the son technically is like the master over the mother. The mother is the slave and the son is the master. Allahu musta'an. The other interpretation of this hadith, of these words are that there would be an increase of slaves. In the early days of the Futuhat, etc., you know that there were a lot of slaves. Bilal radiallahu anhu, he was a slave, and originally a slave. And so there would be a lot of Futuhat, there would be a lot of conquests and stuff like this. And so there would be these slaves. And the ruling is that if a free man, he has a slave, and he has a kid from that slave, then technically the kid follows the ruling of the father. So if the father is a free man, then the son will also be a free man. Although the son's mother was a slave woman. So here it doesn't necessarily mean anything good or bad, but rather it just means, you know, an event, something that would occur, and that would mean that there would be a lot of slaves. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So that's the two interpretations of that wording, that the slave woman would give birth to her master. Then the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions another sign. وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. And you will find barefoot. حُفَات, barefoot, subhanallah. أَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاءَ, naked, very little clothing they have. عَالَة, poor people, subhanallah, destitute, herdsmen. رِعَاءَ الشَّاءَ, herdsmen looking after their sheep. يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ, but they are competing in the building of high-rise buildings. SubhanAllah, it's like, you know, like just yesterday, they were barefoot, they were poor, they were, didn't even have clothing on their body. And like the next day, you know, they're competing with one another in building these high-rise buildings, subhanAllah. How many ulama, when they discuss this hadith, they mention, this is occurring during our time, during our zamana. This scholar lived 100 years ago, 500 years ago. He says, this is, you know, occurring right now today. Imagine if they lived today. Imagine if they lived in the world in 2015, subhanAllah. We know that, strangely enough, it's in the Middle East, where our brothers are competing with one another in the building of these high-rise buildings, tallest building in the world, in UAE, and obviously our brothers in Saudi Arabia, you know, wanting to outdo them, and so Kingdom Holdings building the tallest one in Jeddah, competing with one another. A few years ago, they were like, you look at the picture of Dubai, all you saw was cranes everywhere, subhanAllah. Ajib. And if one looks at pictures of those areas 20, 30 years ago, they were destitute, they were poor, there was no black gold, no oil, subhanAllah. And how over a short period of time, things have completely changed. This also indicates to us, that yesterday they were destitute, today they're competing in building tall buildings, and also that the slave woman is now being ruled by her children, shows us that things are going to go upside down. The opposite, subhanAllah. With this, the sign of Qiyamah, that things are going to be abnormal. That these people are not worthy of that wealth. They are not worthy of that wealth. That the unqualified are the ones who are in charge. And we find the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُوضَعُ الْأَخْيَارُ وَيُرْفَعُ الْأَشْرَارُ. That the good people would be lowered and the bad, the evil, would be raised. لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتباهى الناس في المساجد. Other signs that, you know, people would compete with one another in the building of fancy masajid. SubhanAllah. So very few musallis. Where are the people who perform salah in the masjid? So few they are. But look at the competition amongst them in the building of those masajid. Allahumma musta'an. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So sign of abnormal times. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned those two signs. ثُمَّ انطلق. And then this man left. This questioner, he then left, the stranger left. فَلَبِثْتُ مَلِيَّا. and I stayed for a time. ثم قال يا عمر أتدري من السائل؟ Oh Umar, do you know who the questioner was? Do you know who that man was? He was asking these questions. Jibril said, Umar said, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and the Messenger, they a'lam, they know better. They know best with regards to this matter. And the scholars state that, if it is like something with regards to the deen, something with regards to the ahkam of the sharia, etc., then you can say, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew about that matter. But if somebody asks you, brother, did you see my car keys? I don't know where I left my car keys. It's lost, etc. Here you just say, Allahu A'lam. Because this here, Allah knows best. Allah knows best. But this was not something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was around, that he saw, that he knew about. Somebody asks you what the weather going to be like tomorrow. Say, Allah knows best. No problem. Here you don't say Allah and the Rasul, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was not part of his knowledge. Whereas somebody asks you, what's the ruling with regards to wudu or this or that or something in history about the seerah? You say Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. That's perfectly fine, because that knowledge was encompassed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he says, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. قال إنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. That was Jibril. He came to teach you people about your religion. That was Jibril. He came to teach you people about your religion. Subhanallah. So then the companions realized that was Jibril, who came in the form of a human being. And you can say Jibril. You can also say Jabra'il. Jabra'il. You can say Jibril. And you can say Jabril. Three options. Jabra'il, Jibril, and Jabril. All of them are fine. Last time, you can say Jabra'il, you can say Jibril, and you can say Jabril. All of them are fine. Walhamdulillah. What does Jibril mean? It means slave of Allah. It means servant of Allah. It means like how in Arabic we would say Abdullah, slave of Allah. Atakum yu'allimukum deenakum. He came to teach you people about your religion. Subhanallah. Look at that. We pull out some educational points from this hadith, that the student of knowledge should be somebody who takes care with regards to his clothing. Jibril came in very nice clean clothing. Jibril came and sat close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A student should sit close to the one who is speaking and teaching. Jibril asked questions, although he knew the answer. You can ask questions to benefit people around you. Jibril came and his hair was all black. It also indicates that maybe seek knowledge while you are young. Seek knowledge while you are young, as opposed to when your hair is all grey. Yes, you should still do, but obviously while you are young, it's much easier for you. As he said, writing in memorizing when you are young is like writing in stone, and memorizing when you are old is like writing in water. Vast difference between the two. Also, we learn that to say I don't know when you do not know something. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about when is qiyamah, he said I don't know. And Umar, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, do you know who that questioner was? He says, Allah and the Messenger know best. He doesn't know. So to acknowledge that you don't know, saying I don't know, as some ulama said, is nisful ilm, is half of knowledge, subhanallah. And then lastly, we said that study while one is young. We saw the black hair of Jibril. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. With that, we come to the end of this hadith, the hadith of Jibril. We've really spent a lot of time discussing every aspect of this hadith. Walhamdulillah, this hadith was reported in Sahih Muslim, and we learned that it's the first hadith in Sahih Muslim. Walhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting, our studying, our learning, our listening in our scales of good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge which is beneficial, and keep us away from knowledge which is not beneficial. حياكم الله, brothers and sisters, until we meet again. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.